Hope of Eternity by Pastor Mark Hornbaker, First Baptist Church, Lewis, Kansas.
We're special people, but we all need special contacts. People that we know that will encourage us and help us, because we're not an isolated group. You know, we're not people that can live very well by ourselves. We need others involved in our life so that we can make their lives better and they can make our lives better. We're a community. We need each other. We're not some hermit somewhere out here. We don't operate very well that way. We need human interaction to be the best person we can be. I believe, anyway. We need each other. We in the church, believers, need each other to encourage each other, to strengthen each other, to challenge each other, yes, and to grow and develop and be what we need to be. But I love the little kids. They are the future. We need to take it seriously that we're entrusted with their lives and to develop and mold them and help them become all the Lord wants them to be. And I'm pleased that we have a part in the lives of the kids that we do have. Because, hey, without you, it would stop. Our lives need to make a difference in other people's lives. And I believe what we're looking at in the book of Acts shows that's vital. That people touch people for Jesus Christ. And it's just not enough to live for Jesus. We've got to share Jesus with our life, our lips. Everything about us needs to display and show Jesus Christ to others. I grew up in a church that was all about display Jesus with your life. But I came to realize it takes more than just living for Jesus. It needs also to voice that to others. Because others need to know the reason of the hope that lies within you. And I trust that you have a hope this morning, just like the Apostle Paul had. He had a hope of eternity, not because of himself and his abilities and his gifts, but because of the one who was over him, who guided him and directed him, and yes, empowered him to do the work that he needed to do. His was an interesting task, sharing the gospel with non-Jews for the most part. But you know this? Everywhere the Apostle Paul went, he always went first to the Jews. He wanted them to hear and understand that Jesus Christ was the promised Messiah that their Old Testament word pointed to. He wanted them to realize that. He wanted them to accept Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Because he knew without Jesus Christ's direct involvement in his life, he would be lost and undone. And he wanted them to know Christ is the answer. He's the one that we as a nation have looked forward to. And he trusted in Christ every step of the way. Even so, sometimes those steps in his life were difficult. He knew the Lord was with him. God's with me. And you know, that's reassuring, isn't it? To know the Lord is with you, to help you, to strengthen you, to provide for you in your life. Without him, we don't have hope. But with Christ, we have a hope that endures till eternity comes. Amen. And when eternity comes, listen, we don't need hope then, because we'll see him face to face. And praise God, that day is closer than it was yesterday. When will eternity come? I don't know. It'll come for all of us someday. Someday. God only knows, doesn't he? But we can look up, we can smile, we can trust the Lord is with us now, and he'll take us all the way through. He won't leave us on the 5-yard line. He's going to see us on till we get the touchdown. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord is with us. He'll never leave us. And Paul knew that too. He knew that. And he trusted, in the meantime, until the Lord takes me home, I'm here for you and with you. I'm going to encourage you with all I have until the Lord takes me home. Some people ask me, how long can you preach? Well, I can preach a long time, as long as my voice holds out. And all along as my mind stays true. Amen? Sometimes when you get older, the mind starts to wander. And the mind doesn't quite stay there. So far, God's been good to me. God's been good to me. I know some people younger than me that their mind won't track. Amen? It's a blessing to have a mind that still thinks. Amen? It's a blessing. Because there's people out there that can't think right. Amen?
Amen.
And by the way, we live in a society today where there are a lot of people that can't think right. One of the most important things to being able to think right is this: having Jesus in your life.
Amen.
Believing His Word, trusting it's true, following its example, and living every day as if today were the last day you had in this life. Then you'll have no regrets. Then you'll have no regrets. And that's the way the Apostle Paul lived. I want to live like that too. I want to go out in a blaze of glory. Amen?
Amen.
I'd rather burn out than rust out. Now your car can't even rust out. Because 90% of it's made of plastic. Right? You used to be they could rust out. Right? There's a few parts on vehicles today that still go rust, aren't there? Yeah. But the rest is plastic and it won't rust. But I guarantee if you hit something, you got a problem. Right, Casper? In life, we will face something. We'll face hardships, difficulties. Our life will splinter like a plastic front end on most of these new cars if we don't have Jesus in here. There's going to be things that we'll face in life that are difficult, that are hard. But you know what? If the Lord is with us, if the Lord is with us, and we're with Him, we're in tight, we can have assurance He'll go with us and help us on through to the end. No problem. All things will hurt. Right? Might have hips and knees, right, that hurt. Might have legs. It's better though now, isn't it?
Amen.
Praise God for that.
Praise the Lord.
Hey, you might have eyes that start to get dim. Praise God though. We have some individuals God has blessed to be able to do surgeries that help us. By the way, most of them are 20/20 after they get done. Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. All of those things have happened in the last 2 years, most of you in your lifetime. They didn't have that back when my grandpa and they were alive. They didn't have those things. We're blessed. But sometimes we don't realize how blessed we are. We need to concentrate, therefore, on the things that last, the things that are important, and those are the things that Paul emphasized. We need to keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus so we can think right, and then we'll do right. That's the big problem in our country today. A lot of people don't have their eye on Jesus. They're not thinking about Jesus. They're out there causing problems. Right?
Right.
Let me say this. There are some out there that use the REV period, capital REV period, that are not reverend. And about half the time they're doing things that Jesus wouldn't do. Okay? And it upsets me. Because they give Jesus a bad name by their actions, the things they do, and the things they say. It's time for us to get real in America. To realize we aren't that much without Jesus in our lives. But with Jesus, we can do some pretty awesome things. If He's behind it and He's in it, there's nothing that can stop us. But if Jesus is not in it, you got big problems. You got big problems. And that's the reason we're having big problems in a lot of cities today. Because Jesus is not the heart of it. It's all about me. It's all about me instead of all about Him. I'll tell you what, your attitude and your responses change when it's all about Jesus. You become colorblind. You see all people as having a need. Amen? A need of Jesus Christ in their heart and life. And you're concerned deeply about them and their eternal welfare. That's exactly where Jesus was when He came to this earth. He was so concerned, He was willing to come and die for us so that we might have a true hope for eternity. Amen?
Amen.
If you got Jesus, you got all. You got all you need because He's going to supply your need. And if you're walking with Him each day and doing what He wants you to do and saying what He wants you to say, you're going to be a person that makes a difference in your community. People will look to you. By the way, some of you have already experienced this. When people in your community have problems, do they ask you to pray about it? That's a pretty good sign God is working through you. Because if they know that you will pray and they know God will answer, they'll ask when there are needs that they have in their lives. That's the kind of people we need to be today. People that the community looks at and says, hey, they're different. I can see Jesus in their lives. And when people see Jesus in your life, it'll be something quite different than those who are on all the talk shows and all the big hubbub that's going on today. Right?
Right.
Thank the Lord for you. You are the faithful few. You know what? If we put all the people in this community that are in church today, we could put them all in here. I'm serious. All three churches wouldn't fill this building. Wouldn't fill it. We got a problem in America. We're too big for our britches. About the time we think we got it all figured out, We ain't got it figured out. But you know what? There's someone who's got it figured out. And we need to keep in contact with him, because with him, we're more than conquerors. Without him, we are doomed to failure. People, I'm glad that we can still meet in America. Aren't you?
Amen.
That we can come and worship God and be encouraged in His truth and thank the Lord that He's with us and He's going to guide us and keep us in all His care. The Apostle Paul was warned. We've seen it all already. He went from one court to another. They tried him in the Sanhedrin. He was questioned by the centurion. Questions everywhere. People wanted to know the reason for the hope that lied within him. They wanted to know who he was really about. I guess this morning what I want to do is just boil it all down to chapter number 23. See, they're taking him down to Felix to be judged. Did you notice the entourage that they had to take him down there to keep him safe? That was because he was a Roman citizen. You were not to touch a Roman citizen without a fair trial. You were not to scourge them or harm them in any way. You were to keep them safe. And that's when the centurion was in charge over 100 men. They have two centurions, 200 men, plus 70 horsemen, or spearsmen, what was it? 200 soldiers, 70 horsemen, and 200 spearmen. 470 Roman soldiers. Could you imagine for one man? Who's going to come against that? The Jews were armed. They couldn't have spears and swords and all of that. They were under the Roman control. And here you have this one man in the middle of all that. And he's riding on a horse. That shows you how much they thought of Roman citizenship. It was valuable. So we take him down to Caesarea, where Felix is going to try. This is north and west of Jerusalem, down by the sea coast. And many times that's where the governors would reside. They'd either go down there where it's cooler, you get the breezes off of the ocean, Mediterranean, or they'd go down east, down toward the Jordan. Remember that Jerusalem is up high. You go uphill both ways. You go uphill. And that's kind of like some people said, well, I walk to school 5 miles uphill both ways. You ever try to figure that out? That don't make any sense, does it? But what they're trying to say, we lived a tougher time. We lived a harder life. And boy, they ate bad too back in those days, didn't they? Wow. I had an uncle, poor fella, only lived to be 84. He always had at least 2 eggs for breakfast. He said I wouldn't dirty my plate with one. Fried bacon. Ooh, wow, that's really good for you. Pigs didn't like it though.
That old speck.
Speck, yeah. You know what the Germans call bacon? Speck. You know what they call fat? Speck. Mostly fat. I had a great aunt. No, that's just my aunt. Well, my aunt says, "Doctor, I get most of the grease off of it. You know, I put it on there and I get the grease off." He said it's mostly fat anyway. I still like it. How about you? I still like a little bacon along here and there. You know, I think about those ancestors and the way they ate.
It makes bacon.
Yeah, it makes bacon right here. We have been blessed. We have the opportunity to know about Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
The word is still preached on our streets and in our churches and almost everywhere, over the airwaves, by the way, today. That's something we didn't have out here when I first came here. Now we've got several, more than that, Christian radio stations that play good music, that have good programs, that are there for you to be an encouragement. And you know what? We need it in this day. Paul didn't have that. They didn't have it back in those days, but praise the Lord. He got there and God kept him safe. You know, God will keep us here on this earth as long as he wants us here. I'm convinced of that. We're here for a reason. The reason is to trust Jesus, first of all, a Savior, and to share the good news about Jesus with others. Otherwise, there's no reason for us to be here, really. To encourage people in the ways of Christ. So they take Paul down to Caesarea to see Felix. Can't be tried until his accusers get there. I want to look at the accusation by this lawyer for the Sanhedrin. Here's what he says, verse 2. And he addresses Felix. He says, "Seeing that by these we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy providence or your provision." So basically, he's thanking Felix for all the work he's done among the Jews. Verse 3. "We accept it always in all places, most notable Felix, and with all thankfulness, notwithstanding that I be not further tedious to thee, I pray thee that thou wouldst hear us of thy clemency," or kindness, "a few words." In other words, listen to a few words. "For we have found this man," as it were, he says, "we have found Paul," I'm going to insert that, "we found Paul a pestilent," that's what it said in the King James, "pestilent fellow." He's a pest. He's like the plague, spreading everywhere. His message to people: trust Jesus. That's his message. He's the answer. Well, he's a pest. Everywhere he goes, he's a mover of seditions. In other words, he's causing all these problems. He's the cause. Well, he wasn't the cause. The cause was the people didn't like to hear what he said. They thought there's all right. They thought if they keep the law, we're fine. The only problem is you can't keep the law. You'll offend in one point. That's what the apostle writes to the Romans. If you've been in one point, you've broken the law. And guess what the penalty for breaking the law of God is? The wages of sin is death. Whoa. How many have sinned? All have sinned, he says, and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. So guess what? In the book of Romans, Paul proves that all need the grace of God. Amen?
Amen.
All need God's grace extended to them. The good news is God has done that. God has supplied that. The bad news is many people have not received it yet. That's the bad news. The good news is, though, it's there for all, and as many as will receive it. That's the good news. You see, this is a good news, bad news situation. The bad news is many people in America have not yet received Christ as their personal Savior and Lord. That's the bad news. The good news is the opportunity is there. Opportunity's there. They can hear it somewhere. They don't have to be in a church somewhere to receive Jesus. All they got to do is ask Him in their heart and life. But you know what? If they ask Him in their heart and life, they're not going to make a secret of it. If He's really coming to their heart, they can't contain it. They're going to have to share it. Some way, somehow, they're going to share with others the good news. It's kind of like my wife. My wife is somebody that likes a deal. Likes a deal. She looks around, if she hears of a deal, she'll tell everybody and anybody that she knows, hey, you can get this good deal over here, this good deal over there. She's what I call a networker. Networker. You know, she has this network of friends that she'll tell, hey, look over there. You need that or you need this. You know what? We need to be networkers too in the kingdom of Christ. We need to be sharing the good word with people that we meet along life's way. I believe that nobody comes into your life by accident. God has planned times and places where He puts us, because He wants us to make a difference in other people's lives. And I pray each one of our lives will make a difference. Each one of our lives will be a testimony for Jesus Christ. Just like Paul's life was a difference in other people's lives. They said, hey, the lawyer said, he's a pestilent fellow, he's a mover of seditions, and more than that, he's a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. He's a ringleader. Paul probably put that as a great compliment. They didn't know what to call the Christians at first. First of all, they called them the followers of that way. If you recall in the book of Acts, the followers of that way. What way? The way of Jesus Christ. They all followed the teachings of Jesus Christ. They looked to Christ. But they also believed the Old Testament word. You know, we got all kinds of people out there that believe all kinds of things. One time an individual came to our church at Wellsville, and he said, I'm a believer of the Pauline epistles. That's all I follow. I said, who do you suppose Paul followed? Who do you suppose Paul followed? Jesus. Why do you suppose he quoted the Old Testament so often? Because he believed it too. You see, the New Testament is just the fulfillment of the Old Testament. The New Testament is based on the Old Testament. You had an old covenant, but now we have a new covenant in Christ, a new promise. He's the Messiah. He's the way. The old covenant was to show us our need. The new covenant is supplies our need through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank God we have the fulfillment. Thank God we have an assurance of eternal salvation through Jesus Christ. Hey, this lawyer said, he's a pestilent fellow, he's a mover of seditions, he's a ringleader of the Nazarenes. He's also gone about to profane the temple. They supposed he had gone into the temple when he came there with a Greek person, a non-Jew. That was completely a no-no. Had Paul done that? No, he hadn't. In fact, he'd set himself aside with certain other Jewish individuals in a vow, and we talked about that previously, probably a Nazarite vow because they cut their hair later, to show that they had fulfilled that promise to God that they had made. Now see, Paul loved the word, Old Testament word. He believed it. But he knew that the Old Testament law was merely a schoolmaster, if you will, to bring people to Christ. He says, the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. It shows us our need. It shows us we need a Savior. This guy's a pestilent fellow. Is that what they describe you as? This guy's a pest. He's always showing up and he's praying for us. Wow. I pray I get accused like that. Amen? People need prayed for today. They really do. So there's the accusations. Now let's look at Paul's statement. Verse 10. Paul, after the governor had beckoned him, that's Felix, had beckoned him to speak, answered, "For as much as I know that thou hast been of many times a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself. Because that thou mayest understand that are yet 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem to worship." So he says it's just been 12 days ago I was at Jerusalem. There I went to worship at the temple. "They neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people," notice causing the sedition, "neither in the synagogues nor in the city. Neither can they prove the things they accuse of me. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things that are written in the law and the prophets, and of hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust." Remember, that's how Paul got the division going between the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Remember when he went before the Sanhedrin? And of course, the Sadducees don't believe in the resurrection. The Pharisees do. And so they had that clash. It's interesting how people that don't even have the same doctrine and belief, many times they get on the same side against somebody else that believes right. There's Paul. He said, basically I'm here because they don't want to hear about it. The Pharisees believed in the resurrection. The Sadducees didn't. Paul said, hey, our Old Testament law says there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of those who are just and those who were unjust. He didn't go ahead and say, some will be cast into hell and some will go to heaven. But that's true, even though he didn't say it. You know what? There's a lot of people don't want you to talk like that or preach like that today. They want you to say, oh, it's going to be fine. Everything's going to be wonderful. We all believe in Jesus. You know what? The devils believe and tremble. They don't believe on Jesus for Savior, though, do they? The demons don't believe. The devil doesn't believe. But you know what? They know that Jesus Christ is Lord. What we need to share is the whole truth and nothing but the truth. People need to know. They need to know. Paul was not ashamed to declare the truth. And he did. And God's word was shared with these people. Felix heard all those things. And then after a while, you come in with Felix and his wife Drusilla, verse 24. And she was a Jewess, it says. She was of Jewish background. And he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. As he reasoned, that is, Paul reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, saying, "Go thy way for a time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for you." Come back on a convenient time. Come back in a convenient time. I submit to you this morning that there's no more convenient time than right now. The Word of God says today is the day of salvation. Today's the day that people need to trust the Lord. Amen? Don't put it off. Warn people that we don't know what tomorrow brings. Amen? We have no idea. That's why the Lord says, today make it right. Today get right with me. Trust me as Savior. That's the answer. There's no more convenient time than right now. For anybody, when they're confronted with Jesus Christ, that's the time. They need to say, "Yes, Lord, yes. I'm a sinner. I'm lost and undone without you, and I want you in my life. I want to forsake my sin, turn to you, and live for you. I realize that's what I ought to do." Today is the day of salvation. God's word assures us. Don't put off to tomorrow what you can do today. Today is the day to make that decision. Amen. And I trust each one of you here have made that decision already. But you know what? I know this. There are numerous people in our city that don't know Jesus in the way they ought to know Jesus. Oh, they've heard about Jesus. They've heard about Jesus, but they need to know Jesus in their heart and their life. He needs to be Lord of their life. He needs to be in control. Jesus needs to be in charge. Is he in charge in your life? If you say, "Yes, Lord, I want you in my life. I'm going to serve you from this day forward. I'm going to forsake my sin and I'm going to turn to you and trust you every day." God, help us to do that. Help us to be a people that share that good word with others. There's no more convenient time than right now. Make that decision today. Today is the day to say yes to Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your people. Lord, go with us, strengthen us, encourage us, guide us. Help us all to be that witness you want us to be. Because, Lord, this world needs the truth. It needs Jesus. He's the answer to the problems. He will help us and guide us through this life and give us a hope until eternity comes. Help us, Lord, to be what we need to be. We ask and pray in Christ's name. Amen.